complementary power moves that you can do in the office or on the field or wherever your octagon or dojo of life happens to be. On the House, courtesy of Emerson Dameron, LA's number one avant-garde motivational speaker, if you see somebody you want to get some leverage on and that person asks you if you're having a nice day, say the best day of the rest of your life. They may not like you, but they will damn sure respect you. If you realize that you've said too much and you regret what has tumbled out of your mouth, say to the assembled, I trust you because you are wise enough to keep my secrets. That will shut them up good. This is Emerson Dameron, LA's number one avant-garde motivational speaker and host of Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes on K-Chung, kchungradio.org, medicated-minutes.com. I love you personally. Levity saves lives. K-Chung is a celebration of the street-level activism, experimental theater, comedy, and performance art, wildly eclectic music, and edge-of-the-world weirdness of the most diverse city on Earth. We're LA's rebel radio family, the hub for Southern California conversation and chaos. We do a lot with a little, and we need your help in the form of your hard-earned frog skins. Go to kchungradio.org/donate, give what you can, and be honest. Resist the onuses of ego and civilization. Give up the grind. We all die in the end, but it doesn't have to be from loneliness. You deserve rapture, inspiration, and decadence. You're entitled to your quest for self-realization. You need to go feral. We'll show you how and how to get away with it. We're the people of the screaming release, pushing back on the prohibition against ecstasy, and helping you destroy the ideas that inhibit your pleasure. You're listening to K-Chung, Los Angeles, 1630 AM on the terrestrial tip, kchungradio.org, anywhere and everywhere on the World Wide Web. This is normally the time slot for Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, the website for which is medicated-minutes.com. But today, it has been commandeered by the people of the screaming release. And we think it will become apparent why this was necessary. We need to get our heads out of our asses immediately. This is an emergency crisis situation. It could not wait one month longer. Ego and civilization make unreasonable demands of us, as shown by the reaction right now to the Adderall shortage. Either the FDA is utterly incompetent, or they're trying to teach us a lesson by making some people really, really suffer and annoying everyone else and compromising their ability to play into the very system that the FDA is very much a part of. It's rich to act shocked that people want more amphetamine when your economic policy, as you've decreed it, is let's work everybody to death. Yes, they're gonna want speed. Shocking. And if you are going to look down your nose and be condescending about it, you're trying to have it both ways, and both of those ways are terrible. Terrence McKenna advised his readers to check out, in a sense. He said, the culture is not your friend. Create your own roadshow. We believe that he was headed in the right direction, but did not go far enough. The people of the screaming release
would advocate something more serious and yet more joyous, more free, more fun, more wild and ecstatic. Go feral and get away with it. That's what we believe in. We are pushing back against the prohibition, against ecstasy. And we're being honest about it right now because it's time to cut through the static. Honesty is dangerous. 100% honesty will almost certainly get you imprisoned or assassinated. Ecstasy is dangerous too. There's risk inherent in anything worth doing. Ecstasy is not necessarily fun. It can be found in the places where God and the devil are roommates and the soul is seized and shaken. The whole point of the roller coaster ride is the screaming. And if you're on a hell trip, call it by its name. It is not some kind of challenging educational experience. That's hell, and that's agony and sheer terror, and you are really living. So don't miss out on it. Don't deny yourself that experience. Obviously, certain drugs are of great utility when claiming your ecstasy and pursuing the screaming release. Some people get hooked, as defined by when something starts screwing up other parts of your life. And a lot of people do that with all kinds of things. That is a misdirected search for love and rising above and touching something sublime. The good news is, first of all, we got the good drugs here at the Hacienda, the Screaming Release. We got the real uncut dope. And also, although drugs are fun, they are essentially a dead end. They will not save you. Not even psychedelics. There's a better way. And we have it. And you can have what we have. Without the infantilizing sloganeering that you get in 12-step programs, but rather with the exuberant shared effort of getting jacked by pushing back on the prohibition against ecstasy. Your self-realization, pleasure, and decadence are up to you. You must pursue those things on your own. Society has no use for the liberated, extreme individual. Destroy the ideas that inhibit your pleasure. Don't wait for someone to swoop in and remove them. This is war. And sometimes your best strategy might be losing your mind. In many situations, losing your mind is the least of your problems. And driving yourself crazy is the logical next move. Find the other mutant monkeys. There were some evil scientists back in the day when they could get away with stuff like this that made little alterations to the brains of certain monkeys in a monkey social group. And the monkeys had no way of knowing which monkeys had had the alterations and which ones had not, but when they put all the monkeys together, which monkeys do you think socialized with each other? Yes, it was the ones with the altered brains. So find the mutant monkeys like you that are screwed up in the same beautiful way. And when this happens, you will start seeing some weird and phenomenal things, and there is no responsibility to share those experiences with people that can't handle them. Don't lie about it unless you have to. Never initiate violence, ever, including emotional cruelty, unless A, you absolutely have to, and B, you know you're gonna win. Your responsibilities are your own quest for self-realization and supporting others who are on their respective quests for self-realization in an atmosphere of mutual respect. And also finding your screaming release. Find your ecstasy. Release the beast. Let the junkyard dog off the chain. If it is dehydrated, get on that. Nurse it back to health. We are all entitled to healing, inspiration, and connection. And if it doesn't pencil out for your boss, all the better. Really loving yourself, really loving the monster inside you, is a radical act. And you will learn this in the extended and wildly satisfying slut phase that you undertake as you have your fun and take the path of indulgence in pursuit of your screaming release. Every alley blowjob is a sacred act, and screaming release is the goal. Be the filthy animal you were born to be. Go full bore. That's a pun. B-O-A-R. Be a person of the screaming release. It's the least you can do for yourself under these truly horrifying conditions. You know, it seems like this person is just not good for you. Like, the two of you together is, like, not healthy or safe. And it's not that there's anything wrong with either of the two of you individually, but this dynamic is just killing you. It's been grinding you down for months. It's the only thing we've really talked about, and I think when someone is just not right for you in your life, where you are right now, and doesn't belong in your space, the thing to do is just forget about them. Don't get mad. Don't try to refine or redefine the relationship. Just forget about them. And you can do it. I know it seems hard, but when you think about it, you forget about things all the time. And when you forget about something or someone, what happens? Where does that person go in your mind? Like someone you knew in elementary school when you were 7 years old, or something you wanted, some dream you used to have. Maybe it was fleeting, maybe it just didn't work out, but at some point you just let it go, and then it just wasn't a big part of your life anymore. And sometimes that's a passive thing. You just start thinking about something else, and that drives out the old thing that didn't work and wasn't working. But sometimes you can choose
to forget. I invite you to examine and explore the process that goes down in your mind, in yourself, in your heart, when you just forget about something. And then find that image of this person that you've invested all of this power in, that's been taking up so much energy and so much space. And pull the plug. Just visualize that image turns black and white, two-dimensional, and you see it getting smaller and smaller and smaller, frozen with a frightened expression on the face because they can't move. They can't control you or hurt you anymore, and they just keep getting smaller and smaller. And with that, any doubt that you have in these words or your ability to just forget it. Just let this person go out of your life. Let the air out of this. You know, we're wrong about almost everything. Sometimes we realize that we're wrong and we can course correct and try something new, and that's what makes life wonderful. That's what makes life worth living. That keeps us curious and alive. And sometimes we're even wrong about the people that we love. Or someone could be right for us at one time, and then so wrong as time goes on. And we grow, and they don't. And I know that you've grown, and I know that it's painful, and I know that this is sad, and it hurts, but it's also a good thing, and I think it's wonderful. Before we go any further, ask yourself if you're ready for this, and be honest. There is, as you're probably aware by now, a deeper inner level. You're perfectly welcome to hang out on the periphery for as long as you want. There's a lot of fun to be had there. In fact, I spent many years just hanging out, breaking bread, shooting the breeze, making friends, mixing it up, having fun on the periphery of the people of the Screaming Release. And that's all fine and good. That's where you want to be. There are also inner layers and realms and stuff that most people will never get to see. And at this point, you're aware of that, and perhaps you're considering making the jump. I would advise caution. I would advise reflection, possibly some form of meditation. I'm kind of done with just sitting meditation. I like chanting. I like energized, embodied meditations, sometimes involving sexual acts, or at least a good solid workout. But make sure that you reflect. Get a deep tissue massage, perhaps. Go for a long run. Pay attention to what your body wants. I know I didn't always tune in well to what my body was trying to tell me
Initially, there was a time early on in my life when my body pretty much always told me no. Like that was the best that I could get out of my body, was no to everything. Because I was scared all the time, and I didn't know how to draw any comfort or any inspiration that would alleviate that. I felt controlled by forces that I was powerless to push back against. I didn't understand my own realm of control. It was just fight, flight, freeze, or appease all the time. Usually freeze and appease. I did a lot of groveling, and that did not feel good, and I just got used to my body always saying no, and I would do things anyway, on a dare, or because of peer pressure, because everyone else was doing it, or to desensitize myself. I wanted to scare myself. I wanted to scare the crap out of myself. I wanted to get strong. I conflated that with going numb. Maybe you got a little bit of that in you. I would say it's possible, if not probable, if not a possibility approaching a certainty, that a lot is getting lost in translation, and it could feel like every sensation, every signal from your body, your heart, means no. If that's the case, then you might want to sit with this for a good while. Really reflect. Really feel into it. Don't feel like you have to rationalize. Be aware of when you're making up a story about it. If you feel like you're falling asleep, notice how it is that you feel sleepy. Notice the details of that experience. And if you feel like yawning, I strongly encourage that. I believe that yawning is the finest form of prayer. The point is, figure out what you want. If you don't know what you want, you are lost in the woods and at the mercy of the people that you're going to attract into your life in that state, and those are not the best people. Even the best people can leave a lot to be desired on a typical day. You got to trust people to be human, and you've got to trust yourself as the person that knows you best, that you know best, that is into a lot of the same sex stuff that you are, that listens and pays attention, and is the person that is guaranteed to have your back on your quest for self-realization and screaming release. If that relationship is in good standing, and if it's not, you want to get it there. So take all the time that it takes to get that humming. Street legal, seaworthy, off the runway, and in the sky, in orbit. Exploring space. Get it working and moving, and when it's on, do justice to the genius in your genes and achieve enough screaming release to know what you're really all about, and if entry into the inner realms of the people of the screaming release is for you. And if that turns out to be the case, then let us know.
Love is nothing to fear if you do it correctly. It's good for a laugh, and the punchline is power. So stay in control, because feelings are for the weak. Don't quote-unquote fall in love. Dip in and out at your convenience. Never give a straight answer unless it's no. Always be less invested, with a soft place to land and a backup plan. Test people, scare them away, and watch the movies you want to see. You're a non sequitur inside a sexy biohazard suit. Expect the worst, and you'll still get hurt, but you won't feel stupid. Remember, you're always right. No one else matters.
Here you are. Welcome to the inner circle, the inner sanctum of the people of the Screaming Release. You've made the jump. Congratulations. You might find that you belong here, that you resonate with these ideas, and you can put them to good use. You might be sickened and horrified, in which case it's probably too late to go back. You could try. There are certainly ways that you can blot out your consciousness, and eventually things may seem to get back to normal. But if that's the kind of thing that you crave, normalcy, stasis, security, you may have already screwed up by coming in. That's not what we're about. The people of the Screaming Release outwardly represent pushing back on the prohibition against ecstasy. That's the bait. What we advocate for in truth, fundamentally, at the heart of it, at the essence, is chaos, confusion, and consternation, because nature is good. Safety, the false sense of security, prohibitions on freedom, and the imposition of control by people who do not have the intelligence, the sophistication, the understanding to run our lives the way that they think they do, as indicated by the fact that they are trying to run our lives and being blatant about it. We're always rooting for chaos. That's really the only solution. Every force creates counterforces. Every action provokes a reaction, which is why every solution to any problem just causes more problems. Everything is part of the problem. That's the law of the land. That's the basic truth of things. And yes, it's scary. That's how you know you're alive. One thing I probably should have prefaced this with, and something you need to know as a person of the Screaming Release, is you do not have to say things straight out. You do not have to share your true beliefs. First of all, nobody cares. It doesn't matter what you believe in your heart of hearts. People will draw conclusions about you based on how you make them feel and how you affect their lives. Nobody cares what you really think, and you really have nothing to gain by sharing it in most situations, because you don't want philosophical intimacy with most people, and most people do not want philosophical intimacy with you. They don't care what you think. What most people want is to be controlled and infantilized. People pay medical specialists hundreds of dollars an hour to treat them like children. Anything that smacks of childhood regression is forever and always in high demand and goes for a premium price. So people want to be controlled, and they will show you how to control them if you're paying attention. If you haven't noticed how badly people want to be controlled, tune into that. That's the first thing you want to do. Improve your radar and your ability to notice the ways in which people are begging to be subjugated and offering you the resources to do it. People are bad at being animals. We're probably the only animal that's not thoroughly competent and doing the best that it possibly can, which is how we've created the conditions for our own annihilation. Because what we crave most of all is that relief. We suffer and we make up stories. And most people spend most of their time craving and seeking out oblivion. Because the human condition is a nightmare. There's no way out. It does not get better. It gets worse the further in you go. And people want to destroy themselves. And the best way to control people, and the best way to get what you want, is to help people get what they want. With the knowledge in mind that getting what they want is pretty much guaranteed to destroy. You want to be cool about it. Don't make sudden moves. Don't explain to people what you're doing unless you're hiding it in plain sight. Just figure out how to control them. Figure out what they think they want, what they really want, where the overlap is there. And then help them get it. And that will eat them alive. And you can avail yourself of their resources, their energy, get your protein that way. Have your rotating cast of disciples. That requires making people feel good. And that's why I like to make an example of narcissists that try to get involved with the people in the screaming release, because y'all screw it up for the rest of us. Whatever strength and self-confidence you have is a millimeter deep. And you just have to be cruel and obvious and stupid in the way that you go after people and try to control them. And it's pathetic. It's aesthetically disgusting to me. And when the time comes to make an example of somebody, it's going to be one of you, because humiliation works on you. You are simple that way. I love to fail. The world is my laboratory. I learn so much and get so much inspiration from the things that make me feel small and insignificant and worthless, even. If it doesn't, it's not a good learning experience. And it is good to be king, but if you're the smartest person in the room, you're not in the right room for learning. So if you limit yourself and you're basically a narcissist and a creep, I will come at you and you're not gonna like it. The most important thing to remember as a person of the screaming release is that no one really likes you. That's a tough one, but it is worth keeping very much in mind at all times. Nobody likes you. Nobody cares. You are alone in the world. People care about what you can do for them. They care about how you make them feel about themselves, how you fit into the scheme of their lives. Know that, absorb it. And once you've really figured that out, you can do pretty much anything you want, and way, way more than you ever thought you were capable. Once you've sussed out the reality that nature is good, people are self-interested and not good at it, they're basically incompetent cowards, and no one really likes you, the next thing that you need to know and integrate and internalize and live by and dream about is that no one is innocent. No one is anywhere close. So, do not be pathetic enough to sacrifice your dignity by trying to fit the reality of your experience into righteous moral platitudes. If you've been paying any attention and you have lived at all and have had any sort of a life worth living, you know that it ain't that simple. And you know what people are capable of, mostly on the low end. And you know that no one is innocent, and if there was such a thing as justice, and there was the possibility of its implementation, every single person alive would be crushed. And no one really wants that. Moral righteousness is usually either aesthetic disgust, which is fine, just call it by its name, or somebody's telling on themselves and giving you valuable information should you decide to control them by helping them get what they want. You can rely on people to be human, to be true to human nature, to look out for themselves first, last, and always, to suffer and tell stories, and be bad at most of the things that they do, and be wrapped up in their egos enough that it makes it very hard to learn new things. They get very stuck on erroneous conclusions that they drew in early childhood. You can rely on people to be straight garbage until further notice, and that is a powerful thing to recognize. It's something to always keep in mind. And it's something to apply to yourself, perhaps most of all. It is important to know your own strengths. If you are willing to choose gazing into the abyss over distracting yourself and lying to yourself, that is a strength. Kudos. Mazel tov. You are on your way. But you also have to acknowledge your weaknesses. and that could be the basic vices, gambling, drugs, this, that, and the other thing. Overwork, quite popular right now. Whatever it is that you do as a form of self-destruction, another one that you see a lot of is self-sacrifice, the addiction to martyrdom. People love to play that game because people hate to be in control. They want to play follow the leader. They want someone else to make their decisions. They want to be infantilized, and that makes it easy. So, do people the favor of letting them self-sacrifice on your behalf if that is something that they want. Just watch your back, because nobody really likes martyrs for good reason. You can't trust them. They can't even handle their own business. Know your own weaknesses. If you have tendencies toward self-sabotage, self-pity, self-limitation, just know that. Most people do. It is common. It is picked up early on. It is an adaptation strategy for some people that are in unfortunate environments where it can feel like someone's mood swings have the sway of natural disasters, or they're trying to make sense out of chaos, and being foolish children, they think that that's possible, and they try to spot patterns, because that's what our brains do. We're telling ourselves stories and rationalizing our simple-minded, self-interested beliefs. That's a weakness. Acknowledge it. See what you can do with it. It's all grace. It's all of value. Figure out where you are in the hierarchy, because you're on there. You're in there somewhere. Figure out where you are relative to whoever you happen to be dealing with, and proceed accordingly. Power in one situation does not work like power in another situation. Understand status, social dynamics, set and setting, adapt. If you just try to strong arm everyone you run into, that's a short ride. Know what sorts of people you prefer to control. What kind of suckers whet your appetite? Because occasionally you can find the particularly weak-minded people, religious, true believers, your dead-enders, hardcore suckers, very easy to manipulate, just begging for it. Want to be constantly reassured that someone else is running their lives. Those people are snacks. They're the Slim Jims of the human race. Not very nutritious. You don't want an army full of those people. Manipulate people that you have a little bit of respect and affection for. Keeps things sexy. Know what sorts of people you have that kind of affinity for. It's probably reciprocal on some level. Once you control people, they will expect miracles. The good news is that there are miracles happening everywhere, all the time. Miracles are the most mundane thing that I can think of offhand. So, spot mundane miracles, synchronicities, little mysteries of life, and take credit for them. Put your name on it, put your spin on it, make it yours. That should be good enough for most of your downline. Your colleagues in the People of the Screaming Release will, of course, know what you're up to. And I recommend staying on the level in our meetings. They're infrequent. There's a lot going on our Discord. That's fun. There's some hilarious inside jokes on the inner circle of the Screaming Release Discord that we've been running into the ground for months and months and months. If you have not joined the Discord yet, get on that. Show a sense of joy and good spirit, no matter what you're doing. Even when you are being cruel. In fact, that's when it's the most important. I am a sadist, but I'm a sadist with a heart of gold, and it means the world when I get to be mean to someone. And if someone invites that, I love that, and I have some gratitude. I am human after all. Be of good spirit, but don't say things straight out. You don't have to share everything. You don't have to tell everyone everything that you think, especially about yourself. Shut up once in a while.
Sorry to do this, but I need to talk to someone who gets it. So welcome to the Toby Show. There's this girl who broke my heart. It stayed broken for a week. Then we got back together. She's chubby, but in a hot way. Like a chubby version of me. Compared to me, everyone is chubby. Thank you, cigarettes and cocaine. Also tan. Everyone is tan compared to me. Anyway. Jimmy hooked up with her. He wanted to do a threesome. We ended up kicking him out of bed and kept going until the sun came up. So much cocaine. It was rad. Then we started hooking up, just the two of us, and didn't tell Jimmy. I told him she disappeared. Then he saw us having drinks together, and I told him she just got back in town and we were catching up. Whatever. Who cares? Anyway. I don't really want to get into it, but she's got issues. Major ones. Danger to herself and others. She can threaten herself all she wants. I'm over it. From now on, I only care about me. Our sex is still amazing, of course. I'm trying to figure out how to dump her without her flipping out. But when she's gone, I think I'm gonna be into girls for now. Or maybe from now on. Girls are hotter. And they're better people. That doesn't take much. Like you. You're the best, and you're a girl. So cool and funny. I need you to stop talking about what happened on Friday. Jimmy doesn't know about it. Sarah and Val don't either. It's just you and me and them. They all think I'm being good, and I want to keep it that way. Everyone thinks I'm behaving now, and I don't want anyone to know I spent the night at their hotel or that I met the boys before you did. I need total discretion. I'm sorry, but I think you understand.
Oh. Okay. So the story is I've been with Scotty for a while now? I wanna get our story straight.
Well, no, you're right. But let's get creative for a second. Maybe your friend got you into the event and you had a plus one, which is where I come in. You just wanted a cute, cool girl for backup. I told Jimmy I crashed on your couch. He's stupid. And who cares, really? I'm so over it. But just so you know, this is on lockdown. I've told 6 different versions of this story. That's it. I'm covering my ass here. You know, as one does.
Yeah, I won't tell anyone. I got your back. Total lockdown for sure.
By the way, have you heard from Grenadine? Well, I want coke. That costs money. Which comes from work. I also kind of want to work. It's weird. Horny, I guess. So, yeah, maybe she's taking the day off? I don't know. I'm getting pissy about it. I was going down on my ex last night. It's a long story. Anyway, she started her period. I thought of you. I'd totally go down on you if it wouldn't feel like going down on my sister. I think maybe I'm good luck? Fingers crossed. I've got back-to-back multi-hour appointments, but I should be done around midnight. If you're up, let me know if you want to hang. Oh, and all this stays secret, obviously. I'm trying to make things work with Catherine. Which means I'm lying about work, sex with other people not for money, and my drug problem. You know. As one does.
You know, a lot of people have asked me, are you a satanic Buddhist? And I've mentioned, I believe, that I am with the people of the Screaming Release. You know this. I make no secret of it. I also have nothing against the First Church of the Satanic Buddha or satanic Buddhism as a thing. I agree and resonate with a lot of the ideas. There's a lot of overlap. We believe some of the same things. I am particularly interested in the satanic part of it. The Buddhist stuff is kind of depressing. Life is suffering, and you suffer for lifetime after lifetime, and then maybe you get enlightened, but probably not. But the only way to get enlightened is to just purge all the fun out of your life. Yeah, I don't know about that. But I've always been curious about Satan. The beast. I was a metalhead growing up, and I've done a little research into how Satan got started. I don't think Satan is a real creature or entity that actually exists, but I think Satan is a potent symbol and an interesting fictional character. A lot of fictional characters are more interesting than a lot of the real people I know. Maybe I need to hang out with more interesting people, but anyway, I think it's fair to say that Satan is more interesting than anybody I know, perhaps with one or two exceptions, but definitely in the conversation for the most interesting character, the most interesting idea to have ever been conceived. And Satan featured in Revelations, and I've read Revelations. I read the whole Bible back to back when I wondered if I was a Christian, and I definitely not. I know that now after reading the Bible back to back. It has that effect if you're trying to take it seriously. But Satan is in Revelations, which is the most awesome book of the Bible. Whoever wrote that was real, real high and wigging out. And the origins of Satan are really interesting. Lucifer is translated from the Hebrew word Hallel, which means light and brightness as a quality of light. And Satan got started as an angel, right next to God. He was God's right-hand angel. And then
was defrocked and condemned and drummed out for kind of weird, ambiguous reasons. He thought that perhaps he could outshine the master. It's not clear what he actually did. There are different versions of the story, but it was just for, mostly just for having the thought that maybe he's more godlike than God. Maybe God is full of it. What happens if we just don't take God seriously? If we turn it into a joke? Try it. See what happens. That's what happened, and that's what got Lucifer cast out. And I think about that a lot, because I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't see how levity and humor and taking things lightly and having fun is a problem. And I especially don't see how an omniscient, omnipotent, benevolent God has that kind of insecurity. Like, don't even think about outshining the master. You would think God would welcome a challenge. I mean, he's gonna win every time if the hype is to be believed. Maybe God is hiding something, or just really insecure in this kind of pathetic way. A narcissism, you might call it. And, you know, should Lucifer, who, you know, it's important to have people who push your buttons and call you out and even bust on you sometimes. Like, that's, I think it's an important part of friendship. It's honesty and openness. And yeah, I mean, people, especially, you know, people that are like this, the elite, will compete in a friendly way. They challenge each other. That makes us stronger and smarter and more able to do with challenges, to deal with challenges when they come from people who are, do not have our best interests at heart, are not on our side. I don't think the punishment fit the crime. I don't even know that there was a crime. This has been a special SpawnCon edition of Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes, commandeered by the people of the Screaming Release. The music has been by Omu Sounds. I'm Emerson Dameron. I am the man behind the dream, the producer, director, writer, host, on-air talent, and almost everything else on Emerson Dameron's Medicated Minutes. The website where you can hear old episodes is medicated-minutes.com. You can subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. That will expose more people to the show, which will make the world a brighter place. Thank you to the people of the Screaming Release for providing the content for this show and giving me some much-needed time off from being Emerson Dameron and being your dancing monkey who bleeds for your entertainment. Normally I'm happy to do that because I like you and I want you to be entertained. Your amusement is the most important thing in the world to me. I care very little about anything else, but sometimes I need a break. So thank you to the people of the Screaming Release for giving me that opportunity. And thank you to K-Chung Los Angeles, the station of which this show is a production, 1630 AM on the ground and in the air, and at kchungradio.org on the internet worldwide. Levity saves lives.